You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
We're back, and it is a great pleasure to have with us a man I've come to admire greatly for both his service to our country over the years and for what he's doing now to help the rest of us understand the importance of clarity about the threat we're facing from what I think of as Sharia supremacism. He is Philip Haney. For many years, indeed going back to the founding of the Department of Homeland Security, he was an officer in the Customs and Border Protection Bureau. He served, among other places, tours of duty at the National Targeting Center in Washington, D.C., and in the course of his work, developed an extraordinary understanding of and expertise in countering the various forms of jihadism, which I'm afraid that Sharia supremacism commands its adherents to engage in. And it's a pleasure to have him with us to talk, among other things, about some of the insights that are contained in his superb book with Art Moore, See Something, Say Nothing, A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. Phil Haney, it's so good to have you. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Thank you very much. I'm very well. Thank you.
Well, I know we're catching up with you early, California time, where we find you, having just received the first American Freedom Award from the American Freedom Alliance. Congratulations on that well-deserved recognition, Phil. And I want to talk to you a little bit about the kind of challenge that you discussed there last night and the terms of the threat we're facing from these jihadists to our Constitution. But let me ask you, if I could, first to talk with me a little bit about Donald Trump's speech yesterday given to this gaggle, I guess, of Muslim leaders from various Arab and other nations that came together to hear him talking about terrorism and the need to root it out, drive it out, as he put it, from their mosques, their communities, their holy land, and indeed from the earth. What did you make of the speech, Phil? And particularly, did it strike you as resistant to and informed by the need to avoid willful blindness of the kind you've experienced for so long?
Yes, one of the things that struck me was the phrase, drive them out, because according to the Quran, the Arabic verb is karaj. Muslim, the global Islamic movement, is instructed to drive out unbelievers from places that they come into. So I found it remarkably, could we use the word ironic or paradoxical, that whether President Trump was aware of it or not, he used a verb, a phrase, driving them out, that the Muslims themselves through centuries have used to their own advantage. And let's hope that the significance of that word and the meaning of it isn't lost on the audience that he spoke to. I was also struck by the fact that in contrast to President Obama's speech at Al-Azhar University back in June of 2009, that he said Islam specifically is not part of the problem, whereas President Trump this time, before the entire global leadership of the Muslim community, specifically said either you could say Islam or Islamism is part of the problem. That's a pretty fundamental distinction between the two approaches. So I call that a good start.
So as you look at it, though, in practice, I'm just anxious to make sure we're clear about this, Phil. To the extent that we are now testing, to be sure, but nonetheless sort of positing that the Saudis are on our side, that they are going to work with us in countering this Islamist extremism, the ideology of which is at the core of everything that they stand for, the last time I checked, Sharia. How does that work let's just say you're back in government. You're working as a guy protecting our country from these sorts of threats. Is it likely, do you think, in practice to mean that you're obliged to continue to do what you had to do under the Obama and to some extent under the Bush administration before it, to sort of turn a blind eye to some of these threats at the border or otherwise?
Yes, I echo your observation and your valid concern, because we also know that right before President Trump's speech, the King of Saudi Arabia specifically mentioned Sharia law and how that it brings equality and freedom to the people of the world. And there is the crux of the potential conflict or disconnect. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and it protects our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. It is incompatible with Sharia. And once we recognize this fundamental tension between Constitution and Sharia, then we develop our strategies and our tactics based on that going out. And yes, being a former law enforcement officer, I was imagining being on active duty at the National Targeting Center, for example, and envisioning how in the world would I develop a line of questioning to a potential terrorist if I, for example, have been told because of policy that we can't address this subject of Sharia law or attach it to Islam. So there is a lurking potential shadow of problem there if President Trump and the new build-out administration isn't serious about addressing the true fundamental nature of the conflict that we face.
Yeah. And Phil Haney, let me ask you about one piece of that, which goes beyond, of course, the violent jihadism. As you know better than just about anybody, we're also contending with the what I think of as pre-violent phase of jihad in the form of what the Muslim Brotherhood is doing in this country to build infrastructure and capacity through its mosques and Islamic societies and centers and front organizations and the like to advance this Sharia supremacist agenda, perhaps before violence is something that can be used effectively to our detriment. Give us a flavor of how serious a concern that should be to those like your former colleagues, among others, including the rest of us.
I put a lot of thought into trying to illustrate that concept. I've dubbed it saturation, and I use a sponge. Imagine a sponge floating on water. That's the United States, and we're floating around in this large tub of water with a lot of other sponges, and it's natural that water is going to soak into the sponge. And by the laws of physics, eventually that sponge is going to be completely saturated with water. That is the saturation. The Muslim Brotherhood approach we also know of as infiltration right into the sponge of our society. And then you have on top of that, that's the passive or the less violent form. Imagine somebody pushing the sponge down from above, trying to accelerate that saturation process. That's terrorist attacks or lawfare and hijra. It's increasing the rate of saturation. So the fundamental question, if you cannot take the sponge out of the water, because that's the world we live in, how do you insulate the sponge from being saturated? The Constitution.
It's a great metaphor. Phil Haney, we're going to have to develop it with you on another occasion soon, because I think we're going to be watching how this test plays out. We're so pleased to have you with us. Phil Haney, the co-author of See Something, Say Nothing, A Homeland Security Officer Exposes the Government's Submission to Jihad. Please check it out, folks. Phil, come back to us again soon. Next up, we'll be speaking with Michael Rubin from the American Enterprise Institute. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.